Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Sitting here talking to myself, and then it dawns on me, did I turn this son of a bitch on this morning? And then it dawns on me, like, no, you fucking didn't. So, what is up on a Thursday? You missed a great opening. Well, I don't know if it's great, but anyway, I was talking about my Big Brother interview, and I just want to encourage everybody out there, man, if you have some time. I'll look at my notes, okay? This is the requirement, okay? You're asked to be a friend, not a parent, okay? A friend to a quote-unquote little, and that is just a kid, right? Depending on age, they match you up. They would like you to be able to commit to doing it for a year. 2 to 4 events a month, each event between 3 and 6 hours. Now, that doesn't sound onerous to me. Okay? So you can, most, so to me, can you do that? Right? The first 6 months, it's all out in the community. And then after 6 months, if everything's smooth, then you can take them to your house. You can introduce them to your family and things like that. So the first 6 months is just getting to know them as a person. Okay, and right now it's all virtual stuff. And then you have a support person that, you know, you can ask for help. You can say, hey, I'm not sure what to do about this and how to handle this. And so, no, it's very, those are the requirements. So I want you to think about it. Okay, what can we do to make our country better? What can we do to make our community better? And it starts one person at a time. Okay, putting them on a road to live in a great life. Okay, to live in a great life. So what can you do? There you go. You can be a big brother or big sister. And what do we know about every time we volunteer? Who gets more out of it, them or you? You do, every time. Why not make that a joyful part of your life? Okay? Why not make that a joyful part of your life? Response? Oh, you should, right? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. You should. So anyway, the interview was about 2 hours and 15 minutes. And so it was, and, you know, you fill out a fairly lengthy application, although it's not like your security clearance, so you'll do fine at it if you've ever been in the military. Or if you haven't, it's not that much. And then they kind of go through your life. Tell us about this, tell us about that. So your life, your immediate family, you know, spouse, kids, stuff like that. If you have a degree, your college degree, your work experience, they go into your family, the family you grew up in, your mother, your father. And so you talk about that a little bit. And then talk about, you know, what do you expect from the program? And what kind of young person would you look for? Do you want a kid that's active or a kid that plays video games? Do you want, you know, which would you be a better fit for? Do you want a kid that would you prefer to stay away from somebody who has ADHD or not? What about if parents have been incarcerated or there's drug use in the home? You know, so that, I mean, but again, it's all, you know, very frank stuff that allows, you know, them to better match you to a young person that they want you to become a friend to, not a parent to, a friend to. So, no, and the woman that interviewed me was awesome. We had a great conversation. And I was interested, though, and, you know, it's, so I think typical way that, you know, maybe it's just me, but I think most like, well, once you say like, well, I'd like to be a big brother. Well, I don't want them to say no. So what do you say? What do you say when they say, have you ever been diagnosed with PTSD? What do you say? Pardon me? is that what you say? Pardon me? Excuse me, please. And then the other question is that I was curious about and was, do you have guns in the home? So they asked both questions. And I, you know, so my penchant, I think, I don't, and again, I don't know if I'm unique, but my penchant is, you know, you can fudge around the edges on most applications. But I told myself, I said, no, I'm not going to do that, right? I'm just going to tell the truth. And if they say, you know, we're really sorry, but your combination of PTSD and they still may say so. I don't know. They have a committee that goes through this stuff. So they asked about, so my answer to, you know, PTSD was, yeah, I was diagnosed with it years ago. And then it was, then this happened, then this happened. But here's what I do. You know, are you currently taking any medications? No, I'm not. Other than doing post-traumatic winning and the natural, right, medication that I take from post-traumatic winning, which I am, you know, proudly addicted to. And then, relative to guns in the home, I said, yeah, I mean, I'm a Marine. I mean, I have guns and I've had them throughout, you know, all my kids' lives. And so, you know, they're all locked and, I consider myself, you know, somebody who's pretty responsible and take that seriously. And so I was surprised that it wasn't more of an issue, you know? And so, so I thought that was interesting. So the whole thing, like I said, it took about 2 hours and 10 or 15 minutes. And again, I the requirements to be a friend, 2 to 4 times a month, 3 to 6 hours per outing. Right now it's all virtual. The first 6 months they can't come to your house. So you're becoming friends, right? And then after 6 months you can bring them to your home, you can introduce them to your family and things like that. So anyway. So again, I would, you know, if you've watched the shit we've seen, in our country over the course of the summer, how do you have a greater impact on your community? How do you do that? You know, if you have a better vehicle, that's fine. But I would tell you, I would absolutely positively encourage you to, discover or check out, Big Brother. Absolutely. And you know, they ask, how did you hear about it? I said, well, come on, everybody knows Big Brothers and Big Sister. I've never ever, you know, explored it, but as I kind of, and for me, this kind of journey starts on the backside of watching What Killed Mike Brown. And What Killed Mike Brown was, you know, a family. Mike Brown's family got a $1.5 million settlement. For what? For him beating up a clerk and then trying to kill a police officer. The family got $1.5 million. How about that? It's amazing. So anyhow, so in Shelby Steele's documentary, What Killed Michael Brown? What Killed Michael Brown was essentially white guilt. White guilt in that white people are terrified to be called a racist. So that's the card that gets played all the time. You're a racist if you believe this, right? And so in order to avoid being a racist, right, you'll do cartwheels, right? You'll do cartwheels to show that you're down with it, right? That you're not a racist. Well, and Shelby Steele's point is because white America, right, desperately tries to throw off their white guilt, they give in to this. When the truth is, there is one path out of ghettos in this country. No matter what your race is, no matter what color you are, no matter what shade of that color you are. And that is education through hard work, saving your money, leaving, having multiple jobs until you have one that pays your bills, getting off public assistance, having a savings account, your kids stay in school, they don't get pregnant, they don't join gangs, and now you're on the road to the path to the American dream. And Shelby Steele's point is, we will not look at black America and say that. Physician, heal thyself. We won't. And the tragedy for black America is that, you know, they believe that there is a public solution to their private problem. And as a result, they will die in those ghettos that they grew up in. And so after watching that, my thought was, all right, so how do I make a difference? How do I change? And so what came to me was Big Brothers. And so when they asked me, how'd you hear about us? I said, come on, everybody knows about you guys. I don't know. I've always known about you guys, you know, since I was young. So anyway, Karl Rove wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal. And Karl Rove, if you're at all familiar with him and his like white chalkboard, his white dry erase board. And I will, let's see. Headline, this election result won't be overturned. Recounts occasionally change margins in the hundreds, never in the tens of thousands. Now that's the recount. Now, so I'll read you the first and last paragraph. It has been an eventful, unsettling year. A deadly virus struck without warning and claimed almost a quarter million American lives. A lockdown demolished personal routines and left us gasping for normality. A sudden deep recession snatched the newfound prosperity from many families. And now a rocket-like recovery lifts up some but leaves many on the launch pad. So why not finish out 2020 with a misforecast election as the finale? And he talks about the predicted blue tsunami that did not occur. And then he talks about recounts. Now, again, what I would say to this is that he's absolutely right about recounts. And, you know, recount is a recounting of the votes. Now, I think, and I was encouraged by what I saw in Georgia. And that is the Secretary of State said, you know, I don't know who that person is, but I keep seeing quotes that impress me. Will we find fraud? Yes. The question is it material enough to change the outcome of the results of the election in Georgia? Well, that's what everybody wants to know, right? that unprecedented in the nation's history is a mass mailing of ballots, not applications for ballots, of ballots themselves. And so you've seen programs that outline the number of dead people that voted, yada, 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 people that are still on the voting rolls. So to me, the question is, you know, is going through that process of validating votes. And if those votes are valid votes, then they count. But I don't know that I have confidence based on, you know, what I saw that that happened. You know, the constant stories of observers being excluded and blah, 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 blah. So to me, when I read another story, you know, that Georgia's reassuring vote count. And this is by the Wall Street editorial board yesterday. An audit looking at every ballot will boost confidence of a fair vote. Yes. That's, to me, based on what I've seen, somebody in Georgia gets it. Right? And this is the Wall Street Journal editorial. This is why, to me, you should read the Wall Street Journal, right? Karl Rove publishing saying, hey, the recounts don't change anything. And the reason they don't change anything is unless there's, you know, unless there's ballots excluded because they were inappropriately included in the count, right? Unless that's a part of the recount, the errors fall on both sides of the bell curve. So there's never very much change that goes with it. And so if you're talking about an election decided by less than a couple hundred votes, maybe. But that's how close it would have to be. Here's their editorial for yesterday. And again, this is, I don't even know who the person is in Georgia. In the article, first couple paragraphs of this. Despite all the political fury, America's ballot counting procedures continue to move ahead as intended. In Georgia, where Joe Biden's lead is about 14,000 votes out of 5 million, what does that look like as a percent? Now, you know what? I really suck at this because if I do it on a calculator, they're going to give me some exponential number. And that kicks my ass. I can't do it. So you know what I tend to do? I do the calculation in an Excel spreadsheet, right? So 14,000, 1, 2, 3, divided by 5 million. 5, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, equals. All right, here's what the number looks like. 0.0.028. So Joe Biden would win Georgia by 28 well, how about this? By 0.03 of a percentage point. How about that? Or maybe it's 0.03. It's 0.03 of a percentage point. That's how narrow it is. Crazy, right? Raising the stakes further is that Georgia is set to hold two runoff elections in January, which will decide which party controls the upper chamber. Senate control will determine the national policy direction for the next 2 years. Georgia should be assured, going into the political maelstrom, that its new election systems are functioning as designed. Doing a full audit by hand is more than Georgia law requires. It's unlikely to swing the state into Donald Trump's column, since overcoming his 14,000 vote deficit would require the discovery of serious errors that have so far escaped detection. In any case, Mr. Biden would still have the required 270 Electoral College votes unless his even larger margins in Pennsylvania and other states were somehow overturned. Mr. Raffensperger, a Republican, emphasized that his office is ready to look into every allegation of voting shenanigans. That's the dude, man. His name is Brad Raffensperger. He is the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia. Every time that guy opens his mouth, I always say, like, who is that guy? because he's saying stuff that you don't hear in other states, right? Relative to all of this. And that is, no, it's important to the confidence of the American people that we do these things, that we look into them, that we take them seriously. And when he was asked about, you know, voter fraud, you know, he said straight up, he said, look, we will find voter fraud. There's no doubt in my mind. The question is, will it be substantial enough to change the results? And that's what our job is to find out. And so you're like, wow. And so you know what I always say, like, when the grown-ups show up, like, that dude's a grown-up. He's standing out there, and he's, like, telling the truth, right? When you hear people say, oh, it didn't happen, like, yeah, it probably did. And then you hear others say, yeah, it was rampant. There was hundreds of thousands of votes. Like, okay, got any proof of that? And so Mr. Raffensperger is, like, every time he opens his mouth to me, he, like, gets my attention. And I don't even know it's him. I just see the quote. And then I see this guy, Raffensperger. Anyway, Mr. Raffensperger, a Republican, emphasized that his office is ready to look into all the shenanigans. Quote, if you have any information about illegal voting or voter fraud, bring that to our attention. We will investigate every case that we hear. The recount might also ease concerns about Georgia's new voting machines. The system, which made its statewide debut a year ago, allows voters to make their choices on a touchscreen. Then a printer spits out a ballot with a summary that shows in writing the candidate selected so the voter can review them. The same information is translated and printed in a two-dimensional barcode that scanners can read. When the state picked the system, advocates of hand-marked ballots objected. They argued in a lawsuit that the text summary would give voters no way to visually review and confirm whether the barcode accurately conveyed their intentions, the intentions selected. Now, again, I take you back to Grant Newsham's stories about the way machines are believed to have been manipulated in the South Korean election. So the software is supposed to spit out this in the barcode, but it really spits out this. You think you voted for this person, but the software converted it to that. The article goes on. It sounds like a plot from a bad thriller movie. Ballot coming out of printer that say they're for one candidate while sneaking another candidate into the barcode. As one reassurance, officials typically chose a statistical sample of paper ballots to audit by hand. In this case, Mr. Raffensperger has chosen to audit the entire presidential count. With the margin being so close, it will require a full by-hand recount in each county, he explained. This will help build confidence. It will be an audit, a recount, and a recanvass all at once. The editorial concludes, there's no reason not to let the process play out. The odds seem small that the preliminary vote tallies will be overturned in enough states to give Mr. Trump a second term in the White House. But if the law allows him to ask for recounts in states where he trails only narrowly, then doing so is his prerogative. Georgia's intent is to have a final result ready to certify by November 20th, as originally scheduled. Keep calm and count on. And again, to me, you know, because the stakes are so high, because there's so much controversy that surrounds the election, why would that not be somebody, people stand up and say, you know, this is the right thing to do, and so this is what we shall do. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing is confidence in the election, right? And as the Secretary of State, my personal opinion is this will not change what I've observed through the course of the election. However, I believe we owe it to the people of the state, blah, 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 blah. So I have to tell you that I'm incredibly impressed by Georgia, and I think they're getting it right. On another hand, you know, something that I saw yesterday, and that is Tom Friedman telling people to move to Georgia and register to vote in order to sway the election. Now, Will Costantini lectured me last week about what a lefty Tom Friedman was. And I guess the times that I've seen Tom Friedman, he hasn't been so lefty. Maybe had a bad statistical sample of Tom Friedman. But, you know, rather than saying, hey, look, the Senate will go as Georgia decides, you know, and the two parties will go fight it out. Rather than say that, you know, rather than say that, we're telling people to go move there, vote, and then go home? I mean, that's the kind of shit that's going on in this country that it's just disgusting, in my opinion. It's head shaking. It's extremely discouraging. You know, I mean, that is like he's become Steve Bannon of the left. I mean, just go the fuck away, Tom. So, yeah, I believe I had a bad statistical sample of Tom Friedman. You know, I've read some of his, you know, mostly his books that have to do with the Middle East. And whatnot. I got an email. Seth Moulton's suicide number. Thought this is a perfect fit. Now under a bill co-written by Representative Seth Moulton, signed into law Saturday by President Donald Trump, Americans will have a new three-digit hotline, 988, to call if they have questions or concerns about the mental health of a loved one or their own. Seth Moulton got stuff done. So Chris lives in Massachusetts. So, here's what I say in post-traumatic winning. If you're so isolated, if you're so faking it, if you're so out on a limb that your option is an 800 number, God bless you. I think that we have a huge problem when it comes to mental health in this country. We have a huge problem with therapy when it comes to mental health in this country. And the path that takes you to an 800 number is emblematic of why our statistics are what they are. Now, is it better that it's a three-digit number, better than a 10-digit number? Sure. All right. And you're seeing those numbers be open to not only people that are calling for help, but their family members too. In fact, if you listen to this commercial right here, and part of this commercial pisses me off, but listen to it.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
After all these years, right? I'm not talking about days, weeks, months. After all these years.
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back.
I don't like that statement. Right? Somehow or other, veterans are so different than everybody else, which is bullshit.
Okay.
But everyone. And it promotes that belief. A lot of people don't understand veterans when they come home. Well, a lot of us don't understand rape victims. A lot of us don't understand, you know, victims of child abuse. But that statement, in my opinion, reinforces the belief that you're so different, right? And we need to dispel that.
And help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
Now, here's what the commercial does. It recruits family members, right, to intervene and not accept leave me alone.
You stood by us when we were in uniform.
I don't like that. You stood by us when we were in uniform. Most of the time, people will stand by you no matter what until you alienate them and drive them away by your crazy behavior that is alcohol fueled, which is pretty much the norm with the military.
So stand by us now.
Stand by us now. Give us a fucking chance to stand by you, you hammerheads.
Like my brother did, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Smart brother.
like my wife did when she asked the right questions.
Ask the right questions. How many years has she asked the right questions there, dickhead? I say, and so this commercial, well, there's pieces of it I like. A lot of it pisses me the fuck off. Right? But you know what the response that she got when she asked the right question for years was? Because I love you, I'll never go there with you. Okay? That's the form my love's going to take. And so I'm going to be over here in the corner acting like a fucking kook to make you feel good about yourself. I'm going to reject your overture and push you over there. And that's how we're going to get through this shit as a couple and as a family. Right? It's fucking crazy shit, man. And that is the system. That is the system. Now, the shrewd thing that this commercial promotes is stand by them. Now, let me tell you what that's kind of code for. That's kind of don't accept their bullshit. Call. Try to intervene. Do not allow them to isolate and float off into Never Never Land, where the only option is a fucking 800 number before you kill yourself. So to me, the best part of these programs are the fact that they're opened up to families. What do we do? Right? For somebody who will not help themselves. Right? What do we do?
Like my friend did when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
Rat their asses out.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800.
Yeah, it used to be if you're a veteran. Now it's, you know, families. Get involved in this shit, man. Right?
733-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
So you can chat, you can text, you can, right? And now you can do it in 3 digits. But it's a problem. I'm not going to lie to you, man. It is, you know, our ignorance when it comes to, I wanted to, you know, when it comes to this stuff is, honestly, is astounding. And again, I saw a pretty prominent former Marine say, hey, it's okay to go to mental health. They have gone to mental health, man. Talk to them. They have gone to mental health. And guess what they find? People want to sit down and say, well, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Oh, well, let me tell you a real problem. You really want to have sex with your mother. What? Like, okay, well, what do I do about it, though? Oh, well, you know, what do I fucking do about it? So, this is my life every day. These are my people. Broken, fucked up human beings. Victims of child abuse. Victims of homes that had drugs and alcohol. And people that were incarcerated. Young people that were sexually molested in their own home. To embrace a current term, all pre-existing conditions. In the military, we don't know fuck about it. We don't know fuck all about it. Nobody sits leaders down and say, let me tell you who the fuck you're going to lead. Nobody does that. And so as a result, you go to lead a group and you don't even know, you don't know shit about them. You don't know shit about them. So I want to give you, this is a Journal of American Medicine. So JAMA, right? It's a pretty prominent publication in case you don't fucking know. So this is actually a fairly good hour of radio, by the way. It's why I love doing this. All right, but let me quote from a Journal of American, this is Medicine article, and this is from July of 2014. So this is the headline in the LA Times that's quoting the story, but the story, the article comes out the day prior. Headline, study, men with troubled childhoods may seek refuge in the military. Mac's response, you fucking think? They've always done that. Run away and join the military, right? You're in trouble. It's a way out of tough financial times. It's a way out of a shit family situation, right? It's a way out. It's always been that way. Durr. The camaraderie and the opportunity to relocate far from home were probably major factors. You fucking think? But do we talk about this relative to how this impacts the way we lead? Fuck no. We don't talk about them. We don't talk about them as a group. Okay? We don't talk about that. Yeah. But here's what I want to listen to you. I want you to listen to, and then we'll begin the program. We'll check a few news headlines, and then the Mensa sisters are going to join me here in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the election. Yeah, stand by for that. We're going to let them like vent about the election. We will also, sometimes we do kind of more human being stuff. So we'll do that, and then we'll talk about, you know, they all have incredible, you know, lived incredible lives, in my opinion. You know, their favorite veteran story. And so we might do a couple of rounds of that. And then also their favorite Marine Corps birthday story. What was it? Where were you? What did you do? I told the story about going to the ball with Colleen and all of that. Okay, so that's where we're headed today. But listen to these statistics, okay? This is who the clientele is of the Marine Corps. Among the men who served in the all-volunteer force, this is 2014, 43% reported emotional abuse in their home. 34% said alcohol was abused in the home. That's a third of the force. Okay, 27% were exposed to domestic violence. More than a quarter of the force has been exposed to domestic violence. 12% had a household member who was incarcerated, and 11% had been touched sexually. Okay, so build on that. What percentage of Marines had blocks, had multiple columns checked in emotional abuse, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, incarceration, and been touched sexually? What percentage of Marines have those multiple blocks checked in those columns? Right? No idea. No idea. Think that might be something that, you know, would help. Right? And then what happens is you layer additional stress on top of those foundational cracks, and what happens? Right? What happened? And my friend Tim is a perfect example of this shit, right? He is raped twice in his life, sodomized another time. Okay? So one of those predates the Marine Corps. Two happened while he was junior enlisted Marine at Camp Pendleton. And so what does he wind up doing? Does he tell anybody? Fuck no. We don't talk about that. What is he doing? And what are we doing? We're putting more shit on top of those foundational cracks till the foundation cracks. Think it's important to know that shit? Or let me tell you, let's just say that, oh, well, because of privacy laws, we can't share that with you. Okay, I understand it. Could you at least educate me to what I'm dealing with? What percentage of the force? Could you tell me that these issues are going to be resident in every unit that I'd ever deal with? Oh, well, we could tell you that. But they fucking don't, man. I throw this shit up there and leaders come up to me and say, holy shit, man. I wish I would have known that. Which takes me back to the 800 number. Really? Before you whack yourself, you're so isolated, we so don't know you, please call the 800 number. Now, the silver lining around the 800 number cloud is this. They've included families in there now. Family members call us. Rat them out. Get them help. Do not accept their bullshit answers. Okay. Now, ultimately, can you save somebody that doesn't want to be saved, doesn't want to be helped? I think the answer to that is no. In economics, there's an axiom that says you cannot push a string, and that is true. All that happens is that string curls up. And I think it's one of the most frustrating parts of dealing with people in that, you know, you can lead a horse to water. You can stick his or her head into the water. You can jam a hot rod up their ass in an attempt to make that person go and ingest the water. But at the end of the day, if that person doesn't want to drink the water, it ain't happening. They have a vote. I think that's the hardest part of all this. That's the hardest part of all this. But let me tell you, let me end this little discussion with this. Here's my experience. When you tell them the fucking truth, when you look them straight in the face, and I'll relate this to the Shelby Steele documentary. When you look them straight in the face and say, this is the fucking truth. This is the fucking path. And for you to get to that place up there, if you do these things, you'll get there. No bullshit. You'll get there. I promise you, you'll get there. And understand this. See that path? It's not an easy path. There's a guardrail that runs alongside it, though. You know what it's called? It's called self-discipline. If you'll be self-disciplined, if you'll learn how to say no, and that you'll learn that that shit is your friend, I guarantee you that you will get to that motherfucker up there. I guarantee it. And I'll loop this back to the Shelby Steele documentary and why I'm becoming a big brother. You know, we will not look at Black Americans and say, you're the solution to your problems. And if you wait for the government to come in here with the new fucking program, you'll die in this motherfucker. So, heal yourself. Get a second job. Stay in school. Right? Hold your family close. Make sure your daughters don't get pregnant. Make sure they stay in school. Teach them self-discipline, and you will leave this son of a bitch in months. I promise you. That's the key. Nobody else is coming for you, which is exactly what I say to Marines. If you think Mother Marine Corps is going to invent a drug or a program that solves this, you're fucking high, man. Hadn't happened. Just look at the numbers. Every year they go up. Well, except when post-traumatic winning showed up. But what is post-traumatic winning's challenge? Tell them the fucking truth and challenge them. Don't give them the, oh, are you okay? How does it make you feel, poopsie? Boo, 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 boo. No. That's called endurance, man. And at some point, people get tired of enduring. And then they'll resort to a couple different courses of actions. Certainly fake it. Just forget about it. You know, don't let the monkeys out of the cage. And then in addition to that, my experience is they will self-medicate with alcohol. That is no bueno, man. But that's how a lot of people do the endurance thing. Endurance sucks. And for a lot of people that you see in their lives, they get tired of it. It's not getting better. It's not going away. Yeah, no shit. Only because it doesn't go away. Why didn't anybody tell me that? I don't fucking know. So, on that note, become a big brother or big sister. Make a difference. Okay? Make a difference. Encourage family members to use those 800 numbers, be they 3 digits or 10 digits. Do not accept the bullshit answers that you get, right? If you need somebody to watch these videos that I've made that I'm going to reshoot this week, then let me know. I'm more than happy to help you in any way I can. So good luck out there. Don't fuck it up. So, good morning, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. And on this 12th day of November, this is dedicated to all of you in the hopes that you would consider being a big brother or a big sister, that the solution to the nation's problems are not another federal program or state program, but the solution to our problems are more mentoring, more people, you know, putting their hand out and then looking at people saying, you can do it, I know you can. And it starts with this step. And people take that step, and then guess what? Now, there's a great example in Shelby Steele's documentary of a kid who was a drug dealer, made $6,000-$7,000 a day dealing drugs on the south side of Chicago. And when he got out of prison, pastor confronted him and said, hey, look, why don't we take those business skills and make you a businessman? And why don't you make that kind of money legally? Because you're going to end up dead. You know that. And he said, I do know that. So that's what he's done. That's what he's done. And he had, you know, he was obviously a go-getter. As a young kid, he had other kids working for him, selling crack in Chicago. You know, and was making a ton of money. Making a ton of money. Making $50,000 a week. $50,000 a week. So anyway, put those skills to good use. You know, mentoring like that. Making a difference. So, this is dedicated to that proposition.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, we'll check the weather. Raining in Quantico in 54. Camp Lejeune raining in 75 down the coast. 29 Palms sunny in 55. Pendleton sunny in 56. Camp Smith in Hawaii, sun coming up. Partly sunny and 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 71. Down under in Darwin, it is dark cloudy and 80. In Oslo in Norway, it is cloudy and 41 degrees. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 58. Looking for a high today. of 64 degrees, 63 tomorrow, and then up into the 70s on Sunday. Thank God, man. Good. I mean, come on. What is going on? Top five stories in early bird today, since I don't have any other time. One, top policy intelligence civilians resign amid Pentagon shakeup. So the revolving door continues as we are in the post-election either lame duck part of government when everybody exits the building and a new administration comes in or whatever other phase we're in. Number two, Pentagon hire may rush troop withdrawals before Trump's exit. Number three, fate of Iraq war hero Awan Cash's Medal of Honor now rests with the White House. Got it? Yeah, I think the Senate passed a piece of legislation that would allow, you know, blah, 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 blah. Number four, 37 Senate Democrats urge mandate to rename bases honoring Confederate generals. Stay in the defense bill. So we'll see if that gets through the Senate. Number five, will the National Defense Authorization Act survive a lame duck Trump? So that all in the news. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll get the Mensa brothers on. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio promoting mentoring here. Coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?